As Chris Brown, Donald Jones here with you on the John Murphy Show, and joined now by Bills Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly, who is hard at work this week with the 30th edition of the Jim Kelly Football Camp just outside our studios here in the AdPro Sports Training Center at One Bills Drive. Jim, first, congrats on 30 years. Could you have ever imagined you'd still be doing this?
No.
30 years from now?
You know, a long time ago, I think my dream, my goal was to get 20. And then when I hit 20, that's cool. You know, we'll see how long I can go. And then, of course, when I was diagnosed with cancer, I wasn't sure what was going on. And now here we are in 30, and to be honest with you, I feel pretty good. And now my next goal is 40. So we'll take it, yeah, 1 year at a time.
Yeah.
But 40 is out there a ways. Why not?
Now, we were just talking about a bunch of your friends. We were talking about Dan.
Yep.
Do any of these guys ever say, Jim, like, what's up, man? You done? Are you done? How long you want to do this?
As long as I can. And as long as I have parents and kids that want to come out and enjoy themselves, why not? And as long as the Pegulas, you know, the Buffalo Bills allow me to do it here, I'm going to do it. I mean, the key is being able to have these kids be able to come out on the field that me, Bruce, and Thurman, and even though all these kids never seen us play, but now with the guys, you know, LaShawn and Tyrod and Eric Wood and, you know, all the guys that are playing now, they are in awe of being able to be on the field. And parents get to be close to the field, too, because from the parents I've talked to, a lot of them don't have season tickets. And they don't get an opportunity to come and see, number one, be in the stands for a game, but be right down close to the field. So I love it. I'm like a little kid. Tomorrow I'm going to try to get out with the seniors. Today and yesterday I was with the Bantams and Juniors playing, you know, the 7-on-7. Tomorrow I'm going to get out with the seniors. My arm feels pretty good, but the legs aren't quite where they used to be. So we'll see what happens.
But it's 7-on-7, right?
Yeah.
In most cases. So
no. But they're allowed to rush the quarterback.
Oh, they are, okay.
Except tomorrow, yeah. I'm going to say, okay, guys, I'll get rid of it quick enough.
Find a red shirt
to
put on.
Move left and right a little bit.
No, and that's all I did when I played. Move a little bit left and right.
Right, exactly.
No big runs. But no, I just want to show some of these young bucks that this old man can still throw the football.
Just throw the red jersey on, then nobody will touch you.
They better not touch me. I'll touch them.
So, you know, you've done this, and this is kind of become a generational thing now that it's gone 30 years, because you were telling us before we went on air, you've got guys that were kids when this camp started in 87 who are bringing their kids now.
And we even have campers from back then are now my coaches that are high school coaches that understand and get what we do here. And to be honest with you guys, you know, yeah, I want the kids to have fun. That's number one. Enjoy themselves and get the passion for the game of football. My biggest thing that I enjoy is the chalk talks.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've had Steve Tasker, we've had Mark Kell, so I can go on coaches. This year we have a guy that played at Sweet Home. Now I was one of the chalk talk guys. But for me personally, I try to emphasize what kids got to look forward to. Being in this type of it's not the right word, but with social media and everything goes on,
right,
that how these kids got to really watch what they do and watch what they say and how they act. It's all about character now that, you know, one little mistake, it could be, you know, blown all over the internet.
Yeah.
And more so to the juniors and seniors, I think I try to emphasize that more. And Donald, you know, because you're around the kids now, you're a lot younger than I am, and you've been through that situation even nowadays with my own kids. But have them realize that, you know, now you look across the sports, whether it's in baseball, football, basketball, it's almost a year-round sport for individuals. I mean, there's so many kids, like my nephew, Casey, very, very good quarterback, plays for St. Joe's, but he's also a great lacrosse player. So I'm almost in the part saying, you sure you want to play lacrosse? And the coaches, and they're going to get pulled that way, say, oh, we need you here. So for all the kids out there now, they have to really focus on what they want to do down the road.
Yeah.
What's your goals? What's your dreams?
Now, is that something that you really – I've always, because I was a multi-sport athlete.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I played baseball. I played football. I ran track. I played basketball. And I feel like at a certain age, especially when you're so young, you should still be playing multiple sports. You shouldn't just focus on one sport.
I agree. I try to emphasize that to tell that, you know, when you're young, you can do all those things. But nowadays, I mean, I have a nephew. My brother-in-law's son plays baseball almost all year round. I mean, of course, you can't play it in the wintertime here, but man, it's just all year round. You're traveling to this state. You're going over here. The vacation times, there is none anymore.
Yeah.
The 4th of July, I mean, you got holidays that they're playing tournaments. Like, man, you got to give the parents a break, too. But I agree. I played basketball, football, baseball.
Right.
Baseball till I was 15, and our school didn't have it. And then I golfed. So those things I get. But I think once you start getting close to your junior and senior year, that's when, if you really think you have an opportunity to play major college football or basketball, focus on that one sport, because you got to understand there's kids in other states.
Oh, yeah.
There's kids in other schools that are focusing on one sport because there's such big competition for that scholarship that parents don't have to come out of back pocket for, that you want your kid to get that scholarship.
803-0550 is the number, but we're talking to Jim about his camp, now 30 years in the books, and that's great. But we also wanted to bend your ear a little bit about what's kind of gaining more and more traction with respect to the league, and that's the quarterback development problem that seems to become – it's becoming more and more prevalent. It's becoming harder and harder for teams to find their next starting quarterback. And, you know, we had it as our Twitter poll today – number of issues that probably all contribute in some way. Is there one overriding factor that you see as the biggest problem for NFL clubs to develop their next starter?
You know, I do get it to a certain point, spread offense and things like that, but you know what? I see college coaches could care less on where their next job's going to be, meaning the player. They want to win. And if it means playing their style of offense, they're going to do it. Let them worry about, you know, when they leave that facility, when they leave that program, it's up to them to develop once they get to the next level, to the pros. Yeah, you want your kids to make it to the big times, but their main focus right now is keeping their job.
Right.
And they're going to do whatever they have to do to make sure they win football games. And I get it. If you want to win football games, fine. But everybody's running that spread offense now, and it does not prepare them for the next level.
So that was my next question for you, because just put yourself in that position. You know, it's the early 80s. You're down there with Coach Schnellenberger in Miami. What if he's running an offense where you're getting the plays from the sideline, you're in the gun every play, you're working only one half of the field, you're not making any progression reads, and you're not taking any snaps under center. Now you come to the NFL, what kind of creek would you be up without a paddle starting your NFL career?
Well, you just got to be good enough to be able to make the adjustment. And bottom line, that's what the way it is. You know, and every kid, I mean, I ask for a raise of hands, how many kids in this room want to, you know, play professional football? And, of course, they all raise their hand. You, as an adult, a parent, got to go and put your son in the best situation that his ultimate dream is to play in the NFL. Give him that chance. But, like me, good example, when I came out of high school, I was recruited to go to the University of Miami to play, you know, the quarterback, the pro-style offense with Lou Saban. I went down there, and they ran the option. And as everybody knows from Buffalo, I am not a running quarterback. And I was going to transfer until Howard Schnellenberger became the coach after my redshirt freshman year, and I was able to prove them that this is the style of offense I came here to run. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, rest is history. I was able to prove to everybody that I can live out of that pro-style offense, and look where it ended me. But parents got to really do their homework and send their kids to a program where that style of offense is more prevalent in the NFL. But the NFL is starting to get that way, too. Majority of the times, they're in a shotgun formation. They hardly are ever under the center. The Buffalo Bills are a team like that. They're in gun formation a lot.
Now, do you think the NFL will ever just totally go to that? I feel like you might have some teams that do it, but, you know, the defenses catch up. You can't just fully go to a college
style. Too many good athletes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that you still need that quarterback that it can make most of the reads from the pocket. You want a quarterback to be able to be able to move and on the run and be able to make it his first time, like Tyrod. Tyrod does a great job of moving around. But I think you really need a guy that can stay inside the pocket and be able to throw. And if he can make a first down here or there with his legs, great. Right. But don't make it that style of a Russell Wilson when he had a, you know, his style of offense before and a couple other guys from the past that they can do multiple things. You need a guy that, number one, can stay in the pocket and be able to read a defense.
Now, what are your thoughts about finding some kind of – developmental league or establishing some kind of developmental league similar to what maybe NFL Europe was, you know, 8-10 years ago? I mean, you got guys like Kurt Warner, Brad Johnson, Jake Delhomme. I mean, these guys all went to Super Bowls after playing in NFL Europe. I mean, I think there's enough of a track record there to say if you give guys the opportunity to play somewhere else, maybe the experience they're no longer getting in college, they can get in a developmental type league. I mean, the NFL is a league that makes $10 billion a year. Why not invest in your product by putting a developmental league together? What's your thoughts on maybe that helping the cause?
I haven't really thought about that a lot, but it doesn't sound like a bad idea. Yeah, there are guys that, I mean, good example, you have so many guys that get waived by teams and they don't get that opportunity to really show what they can do. I don't think it'll be a bad thing. I think the owner's number one thing is profit.
Yeah.
They want to make money, and I get it. It's a business. It's, yeah, you want to have, you know, the city, Buffalo, you know, Philadelphia, wherever the case may be. You want the fans to be able to enjoy themselves, but also it's a business. So, yeah, it'd be cool to see.
I mean, because we had Kelly Holcomb on last hour just because he played in NFL Europe. Mm-hmm. He was on a practice squad in Tampa. He wasn't going to go anywhere. His career was over, and he goes to Europe for a year. Puts up some nice numbers. He gets into camp with the Colts. The rest is history. He wasn't a full-time starter, but he got a 12-year career out of that. Yeah. I mean, I just think there's got to be some way to bridge the gap from college to the NFL and why the NFL wouldn't at least explore. I mean, it's long-range thinking, granted, and they would probably lose money the first 2 or 3 years. That's on a developmental kind of, or maybe 4 years. And I know some of them are still smarting from the losses they took in NFL Europe, but if the end game is to make your product better across the board, you have 30 good quarterbacks in the league instead of 15, the NFL product's better, is it not?
And also coaches. You can groom coaches that are coordinators. You're not sure what you're going to get, and all of a sudden when they become a head coach, it wasn't quite for them. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's something not only for the players, but you groom the coaches for that head position. Some of the coordinators maybe not quite ready for the big game of NFL.
Yeah.
Give them the opportunity to show what they can do, and then you can narrow it down for the team.
I think it's. I mean, you can groom so many different people. You can groom a GM down there as well. You know, you have to go out and find these diamonds in the rough, and next thing you know, that GM is now at the NFL level as an NFL GM. So it will really benefit everyone that the NFL and the owners really just would have to come to grips with making that initial investment.
Maybe you guys know more than me. Have you heard any rumors?
No.
No.
Oh, so you guys are just throwing us up to get this conversation going.
We're spitballing. But, you know, they've got this spring league that they're trying to do right now. Fred Jackson's going to go play in this game in July out at Napa Memorial Stadium. They ran, like, a camp in West Virginia in the spring. Now they're playing this game in July 15th as a showcase. But really, it's not a league. It's a glorified mini camp, just trying to get players in front of NFL scouts and whatnot. I think you've got to do it the right way. I mean, you've got to line it up and have a certain number of teams and put together a season. So guys are playing real games, practicing week after week, and getting the reps that they need to in a pro system to develop.
Here's my thing. I feel like you can go to, because guys go to these quarterback gurus in their off seasons, but ultimately you have to play in game live action.
Live action.
Live action to be able to get better at it, you know, and reading the defenses and everything that a quarterback has to do. You have to play in live action. So even in practice, you're not getting hit, you know, so you can stand back there and throw the ball.
It's
you might move up. It's just not the same, you know. You have to get live action.
And the more that I start thinking about listening to you guys talking, the more that I think maybe there should be the AFC, NFC. It doesn't have to be It doesn't have to be all the teams having one, you know, team.
Yeah,
it could be maybe the AFC East has, you know, two teams. Maybe each division, you know, each conference has X amount, and you get to pick from that group of quarterbacks, wide receivers. You do have a little league. I mean, the more I start thinking about it, get the wheels turning, yeah, the more I'm starting to think maybe this is right, not only from the player standpoint, but coaching too.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, yeah, you have college, but you have guys that, you know, probably could think that they should be an NFL head coach, that maybe they can get that opportunity to show. Maybe they're a great high school football coach, but they want to move it up, but they can't get that job that they need. Who knows? It might be a good platform.
Because you figure you have a 90-man offseason roster. You take 15 guys off of your 90-man roster who are not going to make your 53-man club in September. You take 15 of those guys at specific positions. Maybe a team in the NFC takes 15 of their cuts, and those 30 players get put together on one roster, and then you backfill the rest of that roster with street free agents who are willing to run through a wall and pay make $10 a game. And you outfit all of those guys. There's your 53-man roster. You play in a town like Birmingham or El Paso. People see 40,000 for high school games down there. They'll come watch that.
I think it's good. Maybe a good idea. We'll see.
You can be our ambassador,
hey,
Jim.
Maybe we can see can where this is going to go in a few years. Hey, remember that interview at my football camp? Yeah, here's where we're at.
Jim,
I like it.
I want to switch topics a little bit and ask you about Chad, how he's doing out there in Denver.
So far, so good. The thing is, and I've just did some interviews prior to, and I said to my biggest focus for him and really told him, I said, don't go there right now thinking you want to compete for that starting job. Go there, number one, to get healthy. Get that knee well, get the wrist well, slowly go into it. And I think John Elway will give him that opportunity to be able to rehab and give himself back and learn the playbook.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's playbook is, you know, easy. Broncos playbook, there's a lot of verbiage. And when you're a lot of verbiage and you're not used to having that in college, it's tough. Same thing with Paxton Lynch and Simeon.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that they start to think right now. We're starting to really understand the playbook more. But when you're thrown in there and you got so much you have to memorize, it makes it hard. So for Chad, it's just a matter of learning the playbook, get healthy, worry about competing later on down the road.
Right, and the good thing for Chad is those guys don't really have a head start on him per se because, you know, it's a new coordinator coming back in McCoy, and the system has changed from the one they were using a year ago, so everybody's kind of got a clean slate together. So at least, you know, he's got an even playing field from that standpoint. What's been his most popular feedback to you, like, Uncle Jim, man,
he doesn't have time to get in trouble. No, the key with all those guys, and you know, the good thing about it is it's been a long time since Chad's been in the news about all those things, and that was like 3 years ago. And the thing about it is right now he is so focused on learning the playbook and really wanting to do it, wanting to get it, that I love. I mean, he wants to do it for mom and dad.
Yeah.
And my brother Kevin works his tail off. His wife, a school teacher. He has a little brother named Casey who plays for St. Joe's now. And he wants to do it for his family. And all of his mental preparation is focused on football, and that's where it should be. I have a lot of confidence in him. I just pray it all works out.
We're talking to Jim Kelly here, Hall of Fame quarterback, about a host of topics. We just drifted off on the nephew there a little bit. I still remember him in the pass and kick competitions here in the stadium.
That's how long
I've been around. He was just hauling the ball like 50 yards down the field as a 15-year-old. I'm like, okay, I don't think this is going to be much of a competition.
For him coming out of college, everyone talked about his big arm. Once he's fully healthy and he has the playbook, what are some of the things that he's going to have to improve?
Improve, I don't know. I think athletic-wise, he's got it all. He's got to learn the playbook, as we all well know. But the thing about Chad that I love is his work ethic. The kid works his tail off. I mean, that's how he hurt his wrist, doing pull-ups and trying to get stronger and bigger and better. Probably needs to improve on learning how to get down and don't think, you have to run somebody over. You're in the NFL now. Defense is on the other side of the ball. They want to do one thing, knock the heck out of you so you're on the sideline.
Right.
They don't want to physically hurts you to a point where it ruins your career, but they want to hit you so hard that you will spend the rest of the day on the sidelines or in the locker room. But I think he's got everything going for him, and time will only tell.
Jim, we thank you for the time, spending some time with us. JimKellyFootballCamp.com.
Yep. And we, 30 years, as we said before, I've been having fun playing flag football this afternoon. Well, I might wait till tomorrow to work out with the seniors to show those young punks that this old man can still throw the ball.
Yeah, so if you missed out on this year's camp, you know, there's always time to get in early for next year. JimKellyFootballCamp.com is where all the information is. To get the details on Edition 31 in 2018.
And I want to thank the Pegulas for allowing me to have my football camp here, because what a difference it makes when these young kids can go on that football field and play where the guys nowadays and back in the day play. So to Terry and Kim Pegula, thank you all very much. God bless you, man, for allowing us to do it here.